we're looking at how we can go on this journey together, an adventure in how we can discover and engage in the heavenly realms and the spiritual realms that are both around us and in us and in the realms of heaven. And we're looking at two main pathways to engage that pathway of relationship that leads to deeper intimacy with God. And that flows from heaven, where the presence of God is, the garden of God is, Eden in heaven, through the gateways of our spirit, soul, and body to the world around us, so that we can manifest God's kingdom through our lives to change the world and bring the rule of God around our lives. And then the second pathway, which is the pathway of responsibility, which is about kingdom rulership. Because if we're children of God and God is the king, then obviously he wants us to rule like he does, as he's given us that. So that flows really from the outside in, so that we engage from here into the realms of heaven, and then we learn to present ourselves as living sacrifices before God every day so we can establish his rule. And so at base camp, we're going to look at these four main subjects: using the gift of tongues to build our spirit, which is what we did last time. And today we're going to look at part one of meditating in the Word of God, so we can get a flow of God's thoughts. And then we'll look at activating the eyes of our heart, our imagination, and activating the eyes of our spirit, so that we can then begin the journey that we're going to follow properly. So today we're going to look at meditation. How do we meditate? What is meditation? There's further information about this on the website. You can find it on the blogs and on different teaching series that we've done, which you can find. So there's lots of background information. So we're just going to stick to how meditation works today, and we're going to do some practices on that. So key scriptures, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So that means you have to speak it. It's not enough just to read it. Speaking it is part of the process. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you'll be careful to do according to all that's written in it. So it's not enough just to speak it, think about it, meditate on it without doing it. It's a very practical thing. It's a lifestyle we have to live. So we need to do that which we've seen. Then, this is the good bit, for then you will make your way prosperous. And how many of us want to be prosperous? Yeah. But prosperous is not just talking about finances. Prosperous is talking about excelling to the highest level in everything that we're called to do. To then you will have success. And I think we all want success in what we do. And we're all called to do different things. We all have different destinies. But we want to succeed in those destinies. So learning to engage the truth in God's word is part of that process. And it's a key thing. Proverbs 4:20 is another key passage when it's talking about meditation. Son, give attention to my words. So you have to fix your attention on them. If they don't mean anything and you're not really bothered about them, then they're not really going to benefit you. But if you give attention to my words, incline your ear to my saying. So listen. But how are you going to listen unless you speak? So speaking and listening is part of the process. Do not let them depart from your sight. So actually seeing what we're listening to and speaking is also important. So there's a visual element to it. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So how do we get them into our heart? If they're going to be in the middle of us, central to what we live and how we're going to operate, then how do we get them there? And then again, this is the promise: for their life to those who find them, and health to all their body. So there's a promise here for health, not just healing, because we only need healing if we're sick. But if we live in health, we won't need healing. So I'd rather live in health than need healing, personally. So we need to learn how to live in health, which is a promise that we have as God's children, to be in health. Watch over your heart with all diligence. So if the things in our heart are the things which will enable us to live according to the word of God and to receive the promises of God, then looking after our heart is really important. So what's in our heart is important, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And also it says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So everything we say and everything we think affect how our world is framed around us. So what it looks like. So if we want our world to look like what God says it should be, then it's really important that we have the word in us, because then it says, From it flow the springs of life. So the flow of the river, the springs of life, flow from the inside of our heart once it's on the inside of it. And in this journey, we'll learn how to open our first love gate and get a flow of the life of God from heaven into our heart. But meditation is one of the key ways we can do that using the Word of God. So what does it mean? This is a dictionary definition. The act of focusing one's thoughts, to ponder, think on, muse, reflect, contemplate, babble, mutter, imagine. They're all definitions. Another synonyms for a meditation would be contemplation, reflection, rumination. Rumination is what happens when a cow eats grass and it has several stomachs and it ruminates the grass to get all the goodness out of it in several stomachs. Sounds a bit grim, but in reality, we like what comes out at the other end, milk. Yeah. So there's a there's some good stuff that happens when we learn how to draw the life out of what that which we're meditating on. Deep thinking, remembering in the sense of keeping or calling something to mind for the purpose of consideration, reflection, meditation. They're all synonyms or words that reflect how we need to engage the truth so that truth becomes part of our life. Another way of thinking about it is the speaking part of it, to murmur, to converse with oneself, and hence aloud speak, talk, communicate, mutter, babbling, roar, that's a good one, mourn, study, pray, imagine. So there's a sense of a seriousness around it, in which we need to hear the word of God and speak it to ourselves. Because when we speak it to ourselves, that's what causes it to take root in our lives, because we're repeating it, basically. And so we've got a Bible that has a lot of truth in it. It has a revelation of God. It's a story that introduces us into a relationship with God. But if we read it just as a letter or a dead letter, then there's no words, it's just words. But actually, it needs to become where God speaks to us now. So when we read it, actually, God speaks practically to us now in it, which is what's called a rhema, or the spoken word of God. And meditation helps us to go from head knowledge to personal experience. Because we can know all sorts of things about everything, but not actually know the thing itself. And we know that. We can read an autobiography about somebody, but we actually have never met them. So we actually have head knowledge, but no personal experience. And we definitely don't want that with the Word of God. We want it to be personal experience in which we live according to it, and it's life to us. So meditation really is going over and over something in your mind, drawing the truth from it. And this was probably the key in my own personal journey of how to see in the spirit and how to engage spiritual realms. This was probably the first key after speaking in tongues, was to use speaking in tongues and the word of God in meditation to get truth. And I learned how to meditate in the word so that the word became alive and God actually spoke to me first person through it. And in when you look at how to meditate in the word, because of repetition, when we use constant repetition of something, our brain thinks that's really important. And then it stores it rather than shreds it. Because the brain takes in an awful lot of information every day. And it only keeps that which is really, really valuable. So meditation is repeating something. Because when you repeat it, it works as importance. So when we meditate in the Word of God, we're interacting with the Spirit of God who is behind that to give revelation of it. Otherwise, it's just reading something. So there has to be a personal interaction with it. And so if you don't regularly repeat it, then you risk losing what you've read. You know, and how many people have read something and then totally forgotten what they read? And we do that all the time with things. If we want to keep it, then we need to learn how to meditate. So in all the encounters that we have, and in the encounters in this series, really, which is about you having personal connection with God and revelation of God's presence, of experiencing God firsthand and it, encountering him firsthand, I would encourage you to journal those things, write them down. That's the first step that enables you to meditate on them. Because after you've journaled everything, you can then go back and look at what you journaled. And then you can meditate and review what you journaled, and then you can draw further revelation on it. Because we've all had experiences of God. We've had maybe visions, we may have encounters, lots of different things that we've encountered. But if you just try and remember them, they won't be a foundation that you can go back to and draw further revelation from. So I'd encourage you to write things down in your own personal time with God. Keep a journal. You know, I use a tablet, which has handwriting recognition. So I just write it out, and it basically it becomes a file on my computer that I can then look at any time. And so each month I journal everything, and then I go back and review those things. So I've got a journal for each month of the year, which enables me to go back and review it and then enter into it. And I find sometimes God speaks to me about something which he intends me to know about, but he doesn't intend me to know about just yet. But he's planted a seed. Now, if I don't remember those seeds, then it's difficult to go back and experience what he wants. So I've had things that I've journaled months before, and then all of a sudden I go back into that seed, and actually that seed then begins to produce roots and shoots, because now is the time for growth. So it's important to do that. And then often then you can revisit the experience when you go back into and meditate around what you wrote. And I've had many encounters which have been even greater than the first experience I had with God, because I went back into it using what I wrote as a doorway into a future experience of it. Now, I want to just explain how the mind works with this, because it's helpful just to understand that the mind works in a certain way. Everything in the natural realm, what we see, we smell, we hear, we taste or touch, comes into our brain and operates in the area of our imagination in reality. It's a screen or a place in our brain which receives electrical signals and interprets them. So in reality, when you smell something, the particles in the air, which you breathe in, translated to electrical signals that go to your brain, which is interpreted by a certain smell. And that often triggers taste. Because when you smell something good, you remember what it tastes like. Or something bad, you remember not to taste it. Because it's bad. Now, so everything we've learned, everything we see and hear, goes through our mind. Our brain has two sides, left and right. One, the left is the more cognitive, and the right is the more creative. Now, there's an area of the brain called the hippocampus, which is a shredding machine, and it shreds useless information. So things that are not really important, it has to shred to make room for things that are really important. So if we repeat things, it shows that we value them, and the hippocampus recognizes that this is something which should be stored, and that goes into our memory banks. Now, what literally happens is synapses close and form a pathway, a neural pathway, that links to the memories which are important. And then we can use that neural pathway or that link to recall the memory and to engage it. Now, the memories get stored in the subconscious, which is in our heart. And that subconscious mind is like the hard drive of a computer. Everything's stored there. But things like a program stored in the hard drive doesn't function until you click on the icon on your screen, and then it goes loaded into conscious memory, and then you use the program. And there's loads of things that are stored in our subconscious mind, good and bad, which get triggered by things around us that bring them into our conscious mind, and then we then have to act on what comes. Now, trauma, when something really bad happens to us, forms instant neural pathways. You don't need repetition for trauma to be stored as a memory. And many of us have had traumatic events that are stored as memory within our subconscious, and even sometimes our cells, our physical cells, store things like physical hurt, harm and hurt within our memory cells. Also, if something is very, very extreme trauma, sometimes our brain protects ourselves from it by forming a pathway around it so we can't remember. And often that causes dissociative disorders, where multiple personality and other dissociations happen so that we don't have to deal with it because it's too painful. Now, that was all natural things. What about the spiritual things? Well, actually, our spirit is connected to the spiritual realm all the time. It's just because we haven't learned how to store the memories, we don't remember it. So that's where using the gift of tongues, using visions, dreams, imaginations, meditation deliberately engages the right side of our brain, which connects to the storage of those memories. So the more we begin to see and look into the spiritual realm, engaging the spirit behind the word in what we do, then the more the reality of that becomes something which is in our memory and actually we can engage. So when these two pathways that we're following on this course are pathways that we've tread over and over and over again, we can then engage anywhere on the pathway instantly by thought. We don't have to walk the pathway to engage a place in heaven because we've been there, we've walked the pathway, it's ingrained within our memory and stored as something important in our memory bank spiritually, and we can engage and step right into it. You know, it took me several years to build the pathways up. Now I can go anywhere that I've been before, simply by engaging the memory that becomes a link into and a doorway to that experience, and I can step back in, which is why it's really important. So meditation, repetition, writing it, reviewing it, revisiting it is key, so that those experiences are not forgotten, but they are actually used. And then we can use them to actually live from, because we're supposed to live from our spirit, not just our soul. So the words, looking at the word of God, that become thoughts and meditations and imagination and doorways into encounter, also form anchors to those encounters because they form a foundation for future encounters. So that becomes a doorway again through the process. So literally the words, because we're looking today about the word of God, can become a doorway to spiritual experience because the doorway is through the word. Then the words also become anchors of experience to keep the doors open so we can keep go back through them. That's why it's really important to keep and fix those things that you have experienced so that they can become access for the future. Now, it's really important, therefore, to guard what comes in through our sight, smell, hearing, taste, touch. Because if we fill our heart with rubbish, then what's going to come out of our heart? Rubbish. There's a computer term that says garbage in, garbage out. So if you fill your mind and fill your heart with rubbish and garbage, what comes out of your mouth and what you live is from the garbage you filled your heart with. So if you fill it with the truth and the word and the life that's within the word, then that will enable us to live. So our conscience, which is a part of our soul, when it's guided by our spirit, can help us and protect us from seeing, hearing, tasting, and doing negative things, so those things don't fill our hearts. And we'll learn more about how to do that. So basically, the more we repeat the experiences, the more the brain learns to value and store those experiences rather than forgetting and shredding it. So the word becomes a doorway to encounters with Jesus, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. So we don't just read about them, that we experience them personally in reality. And then it becomes an anchor so that those become a platform for further experiences to come. Now, the goal of all this is not to gain information. Yeah, you know, we have so much information. My brain contains a whole load of information. So when I play things like Trivial Pursuit, I'm really good at it because I just recall stupid things that most people seem to forget. I seem to recall loads of things. But the point of engaging in meditation isn't about keeping just information. It's so that we can have revelation knowledge in our hearts, so that we can store truth, which is revelation, not just information. And there's a big difference between knowing something and experiencing and living according to that which we know. So in knowing and in this meditation, it's not just about the left side of the brain functions. Study, intellectually trying to understand it, logically figuring it out. Because so many things with God can't be figured out logically. And those that try to use logic to figure it out get in a muddle. They do. I mean, I've been there. I mean, I've been very left-brained, worked, you know, in terms of studying and tried to understand the Greek and the Hebrew and all the stuff, which was great. I'm not saying there's anything wrong per se in that, but if you stay with that and don't go any further, it's just information that you have. When you go further into it, then it actually becomes revelation and then you live according to it. So in meditation, we're literally positioning ourselves to hear God's voice and experience his presence. So when we're meditating on the word of God, it's so that that word of God can be firmly established in us and so that we can prosper and succeed. Now, God speaks to us when we meditate, and we need to learn how he speaks. Because he can be speaking, and if you're not tuning into what he's saying, you can miss it all the time. And a lot of people miss it because they think it's just themselves. Well, I was just thinking that. Well, if you were thinking something you've never thought before and didn't know, how could it come from things that you already knew? If you think about that. Something that comes new that you've never known must come from an outside source. So when you're meditating in the Word of God and you have a thought that comes into your mind about what you're meditating that you've never had before, that's God speaking. It's not your brain engineering something intellectually. It's the Spirit of God. So it comes as a spontaneous flow of revelation. So he communicates to us differently because we're all different. We're all wired differently. We all have different redemptive gifts which wire us up to the world differently. And therefore, some people, it's through thoughts. Some people, pictures, feelings, impressions, visions. Whichever way God speaks to us, we need to tune in and learn to tune in. Now, you can learn to do all of the others by practice, but you generally have one way which is more attuned than the others. And if you want to learn some of the others, you just have to practice doing that, and they will get better as well, because you'll learn how to see or to hear as opposed to feeling or different things. So it's really important in meditation to actually learn how to engage in the way God speaks. So we can tune into that. And then we can begin to engage it. Now, the Word of God is the basis what we're going to start with, but meditation can go beyond the Word into the encounters with Jesus personally. But the Word of God is the beginning of our experience, but it's not the end of it. Because there's more about God than can be contained within a book. Because God is infinite. So it's really important to know that it can't be limited just by the Bible. Now, we can go to the Word of God and we can find something that we've encountered to help us see where that fits in, if you like. We had a vision. Does that tie in with the Word of God? I had a vision of killing somebody. Does that tie in with the Word of God? Not really, if it's a physical thing. So we need to know that God says don't kill. Yeah. But in a spiritual sense, if that was a vision which had an interpretation was destroy the works of the enemy around your life, then you're spiritually looking to engage what it meant. So you need the Spirit to give you revelation of what you see, which is what happens in meditation, because you take a vision or a dream or a picture and you take it back to God and you begin to meditate around it and he can reveal to you what he was trying to say. Because sometimes it's, for me, I've learned how to hear what he says directly because I've practiced this a lot. When I first began this, I was just learning to try and hear what he was saying. And it wasn't as clear as it is now. So sometimes it came in symbols and it came in pictures. And a lot of the Bible is about symbols and pictures, which we can get in a mess if we don't understand what they mean. So that is where we need an anchor in the Word to give us something to start with. Does this line up with the character of God? Does it line up with God's person? Does it line up with the way God works? Well, that gives us a clue onto what God is trying to show us through the meditation. But not everything is specifically in the Word of God. And a lot of people, this is a big issue right now. Well, if it's not in the Word of God, then you're just making it up. Well, the reality is, are computers in the Word of God? No. Cell phones and every other thing like that? No. doesn't mean we don't use them. They're not bad. Just because something isn't in the Bible does not make it bad. So we must be sensitive to the fact that God can speak outside and use things outside of everything that's written in the Word of God. So meditation turns the Logos into the written, and that can bring faith to us. And it can turn the intellectual knowledge into personal experience. So in meditation, God can speak to us out of the context of what the Bible is. Now, isn't that dangerous? Well, actually, God wrote the Word. He can use it whoever he wants. And Jesus is the living Word of God. And many times I've read a verse, and he has spoken to me and given me revelation of what that verse meant to me right then, because I needed it, totally out of context of what it was written in the Bible. Because he can speak to you in such a way that the Word becomes alive to say something to you now, for the day. And it might have nothing to do with how it was originally written for the original people. But it doesn't mean that God can't bring fresh revelation to it. Does it change what it was written to the original people? Of course not. But God can speak through the Word, and we need to be willing for him to reveal things to us that way. Now, what are the benefits of meditating on the written Word of God? Well, it washes us and cleanses us. Faith rises in us. Revelation, truth flows to us. The Word becomes stored and memorized in our hearts. Now, a few scriptures around that. Psalm 119:11. Your Word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It guides and directs us. Again, verse 15:119. I will meditate on your precepts. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. I think it has 176 verses. It's right in the middle of the Bible. And it's a really key chapter to understand how the Word of God works in our life. I'd encourage you to read it and meditate around it. It takes a while because it's a long thing, but there are certain scriptures in there that will jump out at you and you can get real truth from it. Yeah, your servant meditates on your statutes. Verse 27, I will meditate on your wonders. Verse 99, your testimonies are my meditation. 148, I meditate on your word. All through that whole chapter, whole psalm, it shows the importance of meditation. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproving, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So if we want to fulfill our destiny, it's absolutely vital that we have the truth of God's word in our hearts so we can live out of it. Now, Jesus is the living, active Word. The piece of paper or the book we have is nothing without Jesus behind it and the Spirit of God bringing life to it. Because that book has caused wars, it's caused conflict all over the world if it's applied wrongly. It will produce life and health if it's applied correctly to our lives. So we need Jesus and the Spirit to do that. But it is important as a plumb line and an anchor and a doorway. Ephesians 5:26, so that he might sanctify her, this is talking about the church, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. So there's a washing that comes as we read the word of God, as we meditate on it. It cleanses us and renews our mind and changes how we feel and think. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Now the word of Christ doesn't say the word of God, does it? It says the word of Christ. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. So if we're going to meditate to produce faith, it has to be anointed. It has to come with power implied by the Spirit. Otherwise, we're just reading letters on a page. So we need the anointed word of God. That's why you can read something one day and it mean nothing. And you can read the same thing another day. And all of a sudden, the anointing's on it and it just comes and hits you around the face. Wow. Never saw that before. You know, I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible, lots of times in my life. I can still read it and meditate in it and get new truth. Because all of a sudden, God wants to speak through that. And he anoints it so that it can produce faith in my heart. Then I can begin to act on it and live according to it. Now, faith is a really important aspect in all that we're going to learn to do. In this process, we need to engage faith. If you read the Word of God with no faith, then it's not going to benefit you that much. So when you read it, you have to expect that God is going to speak to you through it. You have to expect that it's going to be life and health. If you just, well, I'm doing it out of duty or out of fear, it's not going to produce life. But when you choose by faith, I'm going to read this expecting that God is going to speak to me, then he will engage that. So I choose, like when we do exercises, I choose to step in. I choose to open the door. I choose to come in agreement with the exercise. Because when we do an exercise later, you can sit there and you can not engage that exercise at all if you don't want to. But if you choose to engage by faith to receive what God is going to give you through that, then that faith will engage God and he will begin to work in your life. God will always honor our desire and willingness to participate in faith. And then as we do that, our senses become more and more attuned as we practice. Because when you first do something, it's not always easy. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. So when the first time you engage in an exercise, let's say, well, I'm going to step into the realms of heaven by faith, you may not feel or see an awful lot. But don't give up. Keep practicing and stepping in, and then things become clearer, and you'll sense more, and you'll begin to engage more. So faith activation using familiar physical things can help. So if you're thinking about stepping in through a door in heaven, actually looking at a physical door here or standing in it and stepping across the doorway can give you an entrance into that experience because you've got a memory to work on. What was it like when I crossed over the door? So you can do that. Personally, I didn't really need to do an awful lot of that. My imagination was fairly active, so I didn't need to do it. But some people do, and you can do the same thing like with a familiar place. You want to engage in intimacy with God, so picture a place that is a quiet, familiar place that you're comfortable in, which can help stepping in. In doing it, what we're doing is freeing our spirit to engage and receive the revelation that comes through thoughts, pictures, impressions, words, and spirits. So you're getting your mind or your conscious brain out of the way because you will try and figure out and analyze and stop the flow. I've done it so many times. God has started to speak to me and I've not let him finish and I've took something he said and then begun to try thinking about it and analyze, whoa, what does that mean? And then there was a load more he was wanting to speak to me and I stopped it. So listen to everything he says and then you can write it and go back to it. Don't try and figure it out as you go because it will stop the flow. So John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. It's absolutely vital that you're able to hear the voice of God when he speaks to you. So then he can direct you and guide you and you can follow him. Hearing God's voice through the word is the beginning of that process of eventually getting real living conversations with God. That's how it worked for me. I learned to meditate in the word, learned to recognize his thoughts speaking in the word, and then I began to ask him questions and he spoke to me in the same way. My thoughts coming into my mind and we would have a conversation. We still have conversations like that where I basically ask him something in my mind. I don't necessarily do it out loud. I ask him in my mind as a thought, and he answers with a thought. And so we have a conversation that goes on in my head. And that's where most of these things come. If you're expecting an audible word to come actually out loud, sometimes it happens, but very, very rarely. Most of this stuff happens with inside your own heart, inside your own mind, where you learn to think and listen and engage. John 17:2 says, this is eternal life. Now, eternal life is not what happens after we die. Eternal life is the quality of life which is engaging eternity and bringing eternity into our present reality. And eternal life is knowing God, knowing him, not knowing about him, but knowing him. And that's how Jesus lived his life. When he was here on earth, he lived his life knowing God in reality. And you can read it in John 5:19, 20, 30. Jesus demonstrated the ability to live out of that constant relationship with God. And therefore, he declared, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. He didn't do anything of his own initiative. He did everything flowing out of that relationship with God. Now, if we live that way, and what I put is, that's the way to live. If we live that way, we will follow our destiny. We will follow the path that God has prepared for us. We won't go to the left or right or get off track or get lost and do our own thing, because we're constantly connected to the source that will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It will show us what the next step is. It will show us where that pathway is going when we learn to engage it. So God's voice in our heart sounds like a flow of spontaneous thoughts, generally. Now, to gauge those thoughts, you have to be still. If you're rushing around, anxious, fractious, trying to find out from God or hear from him, it's really difficult to hear. The more you relax, the more the right side of your brain functions and the easier it is to hear God. So being still is an important part of that. And learning how to sense God's thoughts and emotions that come as well is easier when we're still. Practically, it's easier. Meditation works better when we're relaxed. So it works better often with our eyes closed. Because when our eyes are closed, our brainwaves slow down and they pick up spiritual connections easier. When our eyes are open, our beta waves are functioning and they're designed for us to work things out. So they're always processing. So when you close your eyes and you relax, everything helps you to meditate, which works better. So Psalm 46:10, let be and be still and know that I'm God. So you have to let things be. Don't try and figure things out or take a whole load of things into a meditative process, because your mind will be filled with things. If you're going in thinking, what am I going today? Am I going shopping? Am I, what do I need to do today? Have I got this thing? If you take that into thing, your mind will be just spinning round. And it's so much harder to hear God when your mind is spinning round. So let all that be. Park it. You know, and you have to learn how to do this. And the way I learned how to do it, when a thought came into my mind, which I didn't want, I would just write it down and park it. Because often it would be something I did need to think about, but not then. So, and then that just meant I could move on. And I didn't have to think about it. I just parked it and moved on to experience. Now you get all sorts of thoughts which will try and stop you engaging God. You know, but we have to learn to get over those thoughts so that we can just know God by being still. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait on the Lord shall change and renew their strength and power. So as we learn to meditate, and we wait in that process in stillness, it can change our lives, it can renew our minds, it can fill us with renewed strength and energy and power. Well, I think that's a pretty good deal. So we just have to learn to be still. And when you're still, you can then actively listen to what God is saying and the revelation that comes through the word. All right? So let's just practice this a little bit. Last time we engaged in praying in tongues. So we're going to, again, just pray in tongues out loud for a minute, then just pray in tongues in your mind and just begin to relax, still your mind, focus on Jesus. And then I want you to pray in tongues out loud and then read Psalm 23, which I'll put up on the screen. So just close your eyes and begin to just meditate and pray in tongues out loud. Yeshua yandori yandoro shoma mama trindi yandoro mama 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 yandoro kutasha yandoro kuti yandi yandoro mama yandoro shoma mama mama. Kariatu shiarandoro mama mama mama. Yaro shuma kaiti katarandoro shuma matri. Yarandariandoro mama mama mama. Yarandoro shuma kariatu shiara katarandoro mama mama mama. Yara toshi arandaruma mama. Yarandaruma.
Yarandaro shora dariandaro matri diarandaro mama.
Yaro kuchi sharandaruma. Yaro mama tri sharandaruma matri shiarandiarandaro mama. Yarukuti Sharandaruma, bless you, Lord God. Now this, again, this practice, praying in tongues now in your mind or in your spirit. And while you're praying in tongues there, just still your mind and begin to think about or fix your eyes on Jesus. Now just begin to pray in tongues out loud and just read Psalm 23 from the screen in your mind. Again, you're just practicing, learning to do two things at once, engaging your spirit, engaging your mind. So you can pray in tongues out loud and just read Psalm 23 in your mind. Kayatu sharandaroku ti sharandariandoro mama. Yarandaroku ti sharandoro mama. Yarindi aroshandariandoro ma kataiti katarosho mama. Yarandariandoro ma. Yarandariatu sharandaro mama. Karandorosho ma kaiti katarandorosho ma. Yarindi arandorosho ma. Yarandarandoriando shiandarama katai tikata uya shiarandaruma yarandaroshuma kai tikarandaroshuma katarandaruma yarandariandoruma karandaroshuma. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord God. Okay, now what we're going to do now, I want you to keep your eyes closed and just relax, and we're going to go through a couple of exercises where I'm just going to be reading the Word of God without my mouth moving because I've recorded it. And in doing that, I just want you to just follow the practice of it yourself. Just listen in terms of how I read, focus on one word at a time, and just then once we've done those, then we're going to go into one where you do that with the first line of Psalm 23. But we'll just do these two first.
Be still and know that I am God. 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 Be, 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 be still and know that I am God. Be still, be still, be still. still. Be still. Be still. Be still. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. 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 Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. 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 Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am love. Be still and know that I am love. Be still and know that I am love.
So while you have those experiences of hearing, just allow your mind to begin to engage with the thoughts that God places there. As I was listening to that, Jesus just came up to me and gave me a hug, simply because I was engaging when he said, I am. It was like, I am here now. And the thought just came into my mind that he was here right then. And I just saw him in my imagination, just came and give me a big hug. So we just need to learn how to flow with that. I'm just going to do another exercise with Psalm 23 and just follow the same thing through.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord. The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord. The Lord. The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is. 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 The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is mine. 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 The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. 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 The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I. 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 The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall. 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 The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. 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 The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
So when I got to the Lord is my shepherd, I shall, all sorts of thoughts just start coming into my mind. I shall not. Came when I said that, thoughts came into my mind. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall love you. I shall follow you. I shall serve you. I shall engage face to face with you. I shall fulfill my destiny. I shall prosper. I shall have success in all that I do. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not sin. I shall not leave the pathway you've designed for me. I shall not do anything that offends you or hurts you. I shall not. See, the thoughts of God just can begin to flow and you can engage in it. So what I encourage you to do now is just use that first line yourself and just spend a couple of minutes in your own mind or out loud if you want, just saying the same thing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And look to the thoughts that will come into your mind as you begin just to think about, mutter, babble those words to yourself and meditate on them. As I was just meditating on that myself, the thought came into my mind that Jesus is the servant king. He's my shepherd, but he's the Lord. He's a servant king. And I saw Jesus just come to me and he washed my feet as he did his disciples, demonstrating his servant heart of love. And yet I also saw Jesus there with a throne and a crown and a scepter, ruling in majesty and in power above, far above all principalities and powers and above everything. And I also had a picture of Jesus on the cross, the ultimate act of servanthood, giving up his life for us, the depths of his love for us. Those were just pictures and thoughts that came as I just began to think about the Lord is my shepherd. So what I'd encourage you to do in your own times with God, just begin to practice meditating and getting the thoughts of God attuned so that you're hearing him, you're engaging with him, it becomes a living experience that you can have every day of your life. The more you practice, the easier it gets. Okay? I've been practicing a long time, so it's quite easy for me now, but this is the foundation on which everything else I learned to see in the Spirit came from.